Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. I'm Gary Demas, and we're glad to have everybody tuned in this morning, aren't we, Jamie?
Absolutely. Good morning.
Yeah, so we're ready for another radio show talking about remodeling today, right?
That's right.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Okay.
So.
What?
What
do we do?
Well, I don't know. Okay. Let's talk about remodeling. Okay. But, you know, I think this topic I especially like because it's one of those things that no one thinks is going to happen to them, you know, and yet it almost always happens to them.
Man, I wonder how many things could fit in that category.
I know, probably a lot with remodeling, right?
Yeah, or in life in general.
You know? There you go. But yeah, so this one, this is those lovely unforeseens, right?
I've never like won $1 million. Would that be something like things you never thought were going to happen to you?
Well, I guess it depends on if you play the lottery, because at least then you have a chance.
I don't.
Well, then it's probably, yeah, that'd be pretty unforeseen.
Okay.
Let me know if you figure out how to win the lottery without playing it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll work on that.
Okay. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about the unforeseens today and just kind of specifically with mechanicals.
Actually, in the lottery, it'd be like $250 million, right? Because that's the big jackpot.
Is that the big one?
Yeah.
I would take anything. Honestly, I've never even won so much as a dollar on one of those scratch-off things.
Oh, I'll give you a dollar, Jamie.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
Can I scratch something off, too, so I feel like I won?
Yeah, right. Okay, sorry I rudely interrupted you there.
Oh, that's okay. So, back to mechanicals. They are often unforeseen. Sometimes we know we're going to have to move them. And sometimes they're a big deal, and sometimes they're a little deal.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I think for kind of that general consumer that doesn't know what they don't know, doesn't know which ones are a big deal and which ones are a little deal. And sometimes it can be really hard as the homeowner, you know, when something gets discovered or unforeseen happens or, you know, uncovered, I should say, the reaction of whichever, you know, if it's a carpenter, a handyman, whoever you have there in your home doing the work that tells you about this unforeseen, they're typically very knowledgeable in what it is and what it'll take to fix it. And it might seem like this big deal to you, like, oh my gosh, the whole project's going to take longer now. This is such a big deal. And the contractor there is like, ah, no big deal. And so sometimes their level of concern don't match.
True. And that's the best case scenario that you just described.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, this is really
easy. It's better when it's the opposite.
I'm going to get my screwdriver and fix this and we're done.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the best case
scenario. Sometimes it happens that way.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a really easy fix, but often it can be a big deal and it can be very daunting to the homeowner when something is uncovered. And knowing kind of, oh gosh, how much is this going to cost? Right. That's probably first thing.
Sure.
And how much longer is it going to take?
Yeah.
Those are probably the first two things that enter a homeowner's mind.
Yeah. How's it going to get fixed?
Yeah.
Some of the most challenging, so we're talking mechanical. So this could be electric, could be plumbing, could be HVAC. So, you know, we have duct work running all through our homes in the walls that we can't see. We can see the vents, return airs, and the registers. But there's a lot of ductwork running in walls that we just are not aware of.
Yeah.
So in remodeling, when we're taking walls out, bingo, right there, there's probably some unknowns in there.
Yeah.
So in the best case scenario, when we're looking at that space, we can go down in the basement, and if the ceiling's not finished, we can examine where that wall is in the floor framing. I mean, we could see if there's any wires running through the wall. We could see if there's duct work in there or plumbing. So that we can see, and we should be looking for that.
Yeah.
That's our responsibility.
Yeah.
We don't want to just go in there blind and not pay attention and then, you know, give the change orders to these owners.
Yeah.
Just because we didn't, you know, spend the time to look. But we're going to evaluate all that stuff and find out what needs to be moved. But there's a lot of situations where we can't see.
Right.
You know, there is drywall on the ceiling or, you know, just in remodeling, I've learned over all the years that you can't predict everything and you're going to get surprised almost all the time.
It's just so fun.
Yeah. Well, it's just part of this business.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, you know, and sometimes that can be an area of contention if the homeowner feels like we should have known. Mm-hmm. You know, they feel like we know a home and should be able to see and know everything about a home. Or they might have given us floor plans, you know, of how the home was built.
Right.
And
which are helpful.
Are very helpful in most instances. And in some instances, just because that's how the floor plan is not how the home was built.
True.
Mm-hmm. Even we got the floor plans for our house when we bought it. It's the previous owners gave us the original floor plans. And it's really funny. The fireplace is in a different spot.
Oh, yeah.
So I would imagine that trickle effect of the fireplace being in a different spot affects a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things are run very differently than they're shown on that plan, which that's an obvious change, but they're not always that obvious. Sometimes it's as simple as, oh, let's just put the vent this way instead of that way, or run it up this side instead of that side.
Yeah. Now, one thing we are going to do for the homeowner is when we sell a project, if we're taking any wall out, we're always going to have a little line in our specs that say, if there's hidden mechanicals, you know, that will be an additional cost because we want them to know up front. There's a few things here we can't find. We could run into something. We don't know if we are or not, but you know, just making them aware from the get-go that there could be additional cost in that.
And sometimes we'll even, you know, if it's something like removing soffits in a kitchen, sometimes we're able to just peek inside those soffits or cut a little drywall out of a wall and peek at something. Yep. If we are, you know, very, you know, convinced that there might be something up there, or it's a high likelihood that something might be up there, it's always worth it to check and kind of know ahead of time. Because sometimes even things that we're designing based on certain predictions of kind of how the, you know, which way the floor joists run and things like that. We're designing things around that to make it the most efficient. So if we're going to run, you know, a range hood vent out the house, we want it to be as easy as possible, right? Because you don't want to soffit and things like that. And so we do plan around certain assumptions. Yeah. And there are some things that we can't see.
Yeah. And in those scenarios, I can think of several jobs where, and it seems like mostly kitchens is where this comes into play, taking soffits out. And when you're building a new home and you're running piping or electric wire, you're always taking the path of least resistance. So if there's a soffit there, they're probably going to take advantage of it to run some piping. And that happens a lot. And so I can think of several situations where I got a call and here we go. We took soffits out and there's all this plumbing in the ceiling. And it's like, it's going to be a real challenge to get it moved.
Yeah.
I can remember, I'll be standing out there looking at it with the plumber and the project manager, and we're sitting there brainstorming, trying to figure out how to reroute this. And it's like, we always seem to find a way. And a lot of times we find a way that it doesn't impair the plan at all.
Yeah.
But it can be really challenging and take a lot of thought. Sometimes we have to just make a little modification in intense scenarios, but that didn't happen very often. But yeah, with mechanicals, I mean, it all has to work. It all has to meet code. You can't just run pipes anywhere you want to or put any kind of elbow on you want to.
Yeah.
So we got to meet the code and somehow get the stuff moved.
Yeah. No, and it can definitely be tricky. And, you know, we're talking specifically about mechanicals this time, but there's also, you know, structural aspects as well.
Yeah.
A lot of times clients are maybe wanting a wall removed that's structural, or there's, you know, posts or beams throughout the house that they want removed, and things like that. And sometimes they're decorative and sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
And being sure, you want to be really sure about that.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of homeowners will say, can it be done? And almost anything can be done, but not everything is feasible, you know, in terms of cost and all the work you have to go through to it to do it. So it just takes some discussion and understanding of the cost and what all is involved. Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. So it's Gary and Jamie talking about hidden mechanicals. Hidden mechanicals.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Did you ever find any of those hidden mechanicals? Hiding from you so much that you couldn't find them?
I found them a lot when, you know, we do these awards every year, the CODIES, the Contractor of the Year Awards. And whenever I'm writing kind of the story about what happened on the project, I have learned a lot about the hidden mechanicals.
Oh, yeah, I bet you have.
Yeah. And kind of the things that that has...
The challenges.
The challenges that that has endured and things like that. And so I think this is a really fun topic to go into because it's different every time. Even if you found the exact same thing, it's how you have to overcome it is different every time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so definitely. I mean, there's one project I can think of that we did in Worthington. We did an addition, a pretty good size addition, but rearranged kind of their kitchen, added a little sitting area and a mudroom. And there was a, we were taking out a closet, and the closet, couldn't see anything. It looked like a closet, drywall, nothing to think about. And, but unfortunately, there was a really big HVAC vent that served the primary bedroom in there. And we had to definitely shift some things around mid-design and mid-construction and things like that. And when you're talking a kitchen, you know, you're already pretty, by the time you're in construction, you're very deep into cabinets have been ordered, you know, everything's been selected. Everything like that is already solidified. And so something like this coming up when it's where cabinetry is going can, you know, really impact things.
Okay. So Jamie, if you had your choice, there's going to be hidden mechanical. It's either going to be electrical or plumbing or HVAC. Which one of those you think would be the least challenge and which do you think would be the most challenge?
I would think electrical would be the least challenging because it's the smallest wire.
Yep.
And I would just go up from there, plumbing next and then HVAC, just based on the size of the thing.
You got the quiz right.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, electrical wiring. The biggest challenge with electrical wiring is if there's a connection, like an outlet that has to come out of a wall. So you have a wire that's spliced and it's not running continuous through. Because you can't have a hidden connection. You have to have a box with a cover plate.
Oh.
So that can create somewhat of a challenge, but there's you know, usually always a way to get around that. But yeah, typically wiring would be by far the easiest to relocate.
Okay.
And then plumbing next. The hardest part of plumbing is going to be your main vents or stacks. So the 3-inch or 4-inch pipe, they're big and they're a little more challenging. HVAC, definitely the toughest one.
Yeah.
Because
they're big.
You don't have 2-inch round HVAC pipes. They're like 4x10. They're big and they take a lot of space. And you can't just hide those anywhere.
No, I mean, they definitely take some finagling and reworking. And, you know, in this example that I was speaking about in Worthington, you know, it really would have compromised the design, and that was something that they weren't willing to do, especially this far into the project. I mean, like I said, cabinet layout, everything's been predetermined at this point. And so they did end up rerouting the vent through an existing soffit that was actually below in the lower level. And so that was a good, you know, workaround, and that worked out. And there's almost always a solution. And there's almost always a good solution. But sometimes there's not. And it can be tough to overcome.
Yeah. It's usually going to be us adding a little chase or a little soffit somewhere just to cover up a pipe. But it is kind of fun because it's like working out a puzzle, you know?
Yeah.
You got, here's all the options you have, and here's the you know, mechanicals that you have to run through there, and you just have to figure out what's going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and sometimes it can be too that, like, for example, in this instance, even if that soffit wasn't there in the lower level, perhaps we could have created a soffit in the lower level. And that was the lesser of the evil than disrupting the design of the kitchen with cabinetry that's already been ordered.
Yeah.
Or sometimes maybe it's going the hood for the kitchen and it needs to go up into a closet or a bathroom or something like that. And we have a little bump out located somewhere in there. But there's usually a solution, and although it might not be the homeowner's first choice, we try and give them the path of, you know, least resistance.
And include them in the solution.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, these are all conversations that we're always having with the client of kind of, okay, so this is what we uncovered. This is what it means. These are the possibilities, you know, which is, you know, your yeah. choice, basically.
But the immediate first negative is, oops, we have to wait, stop.
Yeah.
We got to stop.
We got to stop, and there's more money involved.
Yeah.
Almost always.
So, and we've got our team out there, they're ready to work. They're mm-hmm. frustrated because they can't go any further. They ran into this thing, and we have to work out a solution before they can continue. So
yeah.
it's kind of like all hands on deck quickly, and mm-hmm. let's get this figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I think too, the kind of emotional side of those challenges can be very tricky, especially depending on where that homeowner is at, you know, emotionally already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they already kind of fatigued by the process and the yeah. project? Are they maybe fatigued by their personal life or whatever they have? Maybe something mm-hmm. catastrophic just happened at work too, or in their personal life.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, even though these things seem minor in the grand scheme of things, when yeah. you're already, this is, and I, we always talk about this, that that's one thing with remodeling, you always need to be very aware of that. It is a very emotional time, and it is a challenge that you're going through in your life, and so your bucket's already a little full mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
But you know, just being aware, I think, up front, and especially like you said, we always put that line item reminding clients mm-hmm. that there is that possibility mm-hmm. And that we'll, how we'll approach it and things like that, especially mm-hmm. depending on the project, we have a pretty good idea of if there's a chance of yeah. things being an issue or
yeah not. We usually do. Sometimes, yeah. though, we are just totally baffled.
Yeah.
You just never know what you're going to run into in remodeling.
I know. Crazy, crazy.
Yep.
But, yeah, so, I mean, electrical, I would imagine we're usually pretty aware of, because there's either we see the outlet in the wall or we see a light switch in the wall. But sometimes, is it also being run up maybe to a second story or things like
yeah.
that? Yeah, that we wouldn't
know
about.
Or sometimes... we'll find a whole bunch of wires feeding a sub panel somewhere that we didn't discover.
Yeah.
So it could be a, like, I've seen walls we've torn out, and then one stud space, there'd be like 20 wires.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a major rework. That's very rare, but I've seen it happen a couple of times.
Yeah. We had our, when we had our basement finished, there was kind of this, like, I don't know, call it 18 inch gap between a wall and where we were finishing, because the, for some reason, the way they dug out the foundation, there was a little jog.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually, there was a lot of wiring being run through there and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we had to work it out from our, what we call our lower level to our basement, it's a 5-level split, things had to get connected in there that we wouldn't be able to easily access again.
Okay. Yeah.
And we unfortunately have a problem in our lower level once in a while that the, there must be a wire that's just slightly loose, and the TV will turn off and on like mid watching it. And we're kind of like, well, do we open that wall and fix it or just let it be?
I think you need to open a wall.
Open the wall. Yeah.
You don't like wires that are kind of like not connecting all the time.
I know. I mean, it would be an HDMI that's plugged into something back there. So I don't think it would be anything.
Oh, it's
hazardous.
Your HDMI.
Yeah.
So it's not a high voltage situation.
No, it's not like that kind of a concern.
You don't
it's
want
more,
any sparking going on.
No, there's no spark. It wouldn't be spark. It's we know it's the HDMI because that's what's behind there, but it's like, is it worth opening it up to plug it in a little better?
Yeah, but you know, speaking of sparks behind walls, that's why we have the arc fault protectors, because they detect that, and they would click off that circuit.
That's right.
So we keep adding new safety features as time goes by, you know, and as we get developed better safety appliances and devices.
Yeah.
Okay. So today we're talking about hidden mechanicals, what we find sometimes in the remodeling business, and how we deal with relocating stuff like that. So let's take a break. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, where we are here on the radio, 610 WTVN, every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, or we're on podcasts whenever you want to listen.
That's right.
That's pretty daggone convenient, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. You can even listen to us, you know, on the Apple one, it gives you the option to listen to us at like 2x speed.
Oh, really?
So someone might be listening to us talk very, very fast.
Yeah. But then they couldn't get every thought that
I know,
we're
you
processing.
Lose a lot of the emotion, you know, when it's at hyperspeed like that. But,
yeah. But I have to confess, I do listen to books a little bit faster.
A little fast.
Normal. Yeah. 1.2 is usually my speed.
Yeah. Depends what I'm listening to.
And who's narrating it.
I know. That's the one I love the podcast, How I Built This.
Yeah.
Guy Raz, he does that one, and he's a little bit of a slow talker.
Okay.
So that one I can listen to. It's 1.5 speed.
Yep. Okay. 1.5. That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
So here we are, segment 3 on HVAC. Is that what we're talking about today?
Yeah. Mechanicals, moving things around.
Yeah.
Tossing things around the house.
Okay.
You know, another good thing to kind of touch on, just because this affects a lot of the projects we do, laundry rooms. Laundry rooms are, washer and dryers specifically, are very tricky because they're so big and they get used so much. And, you know, sometimes in a lot of homes, they're in the basement. In a lot of homes, they're in the mudroom. In a lot of homes, they're simply in a closet. But they never seem to have a really great spot. So we move them a lot. You know, we stack them a lot. We move them a lot. We, you know, my personal dream is to have 2 sets. And it's a lot. There's a lot that goes to them. There's electric. A lot of times there's gas. There's plumbing, water.
Drains. You know, you say we move them a lot. Well, I was sitting in a production meeting the other day and listening to our project managers, and we were kind of talking about what are some things we're running into, you know, that we're not really addressing correctly. And so one of the guys said, do you realize on such and such a job, okay, so we're remodeling the laundry room.
Okay.
So we've moved the washer and dryer out and in, out and in, out and in during construction 13 times.
Oh my gosh. Why?
So the client could use them over the weekend.
Oh my gosh.
So
I bet that was not factored in.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Do you realize how much time it takes to do that? And then one of the other project managers said, yep, same with me. You know, on the such and such a job, I think we moved them 14 times because, you know, there's just so much remodeling going on.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, pulling them out of where they belong and putting them back while we're remodeling there. But as you say, permanent relocation is also something we need to.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, whether it's in the basement and they want it either on the first floor or second story, or even if it's on the first story, a lot of times, like I said, it's shared with the mudroom. Mm-hmm. And that mudroom space is so critical, you know, especially depending on how many kids you have or what your lifestyle is. Mm-hmm. Mudroom space is golden. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you want to move that in upstairs. And, you know, often there's that 2-story foyer that's very unnecessary space and is actually the perfect amount of space for a laundry room for on the second story. And it's, you know, it's hard to visualize or imagine how you could put a washer and dryer in this currently empty space and everything that would need to be located up there.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that take and what makes it possible or not possible?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with washer and dryer, the electric is the least concern.
Right.
They both need electricity. The dryer is going to need, you know, 220 volts in a separate circuit. So, that'll be some work, and that wire's more expensive because it's heavy wire.
Yeah.
You got to run down the panel and put a big breaker in. So that's something to consider. But the dryer also needs the 4-inch duct.
Mm-hmm.
And where you're going to run that thing, the vent.
Yeah.
And it can run up through and out the attic, but it needs to be done correctly because you don't want the vent, you know, lint just clogging the whole thing full.
Right.
So it's important, you know, how you do that and what kind of piping you use so it doesn't catch any lint.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you can go out of soffit, you know, at the mid-level if there's a second floor in the house. So that's a challenge, you know, getting the dryer vent out.
Mm-hmm.
With the washing machine, the water lines are not usually real difficult because they're small.
Mm-hmm.
But the drain could be an issue because you're going to need probably a 2-inch drain to run clear down into the basement and connect to the main system.
Yeah.
So that's going to take some drywall removal, no doubt, to get that drain down through there. So those are the main challenges.
Yeah. What about the actual building of a structure in a 2-story foyer for a laundry room?
Okay, so you're really creating a floor that spans across an existing clear story area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really easy.
Easy.
No problem at
Piece
all.
Piece of cake.
Yep. Piece of cake.
I
that's
like
the
it.
Least of our worries.
I know. Mm-hmm. It is funny, though. It does tend to be just like the perfect amount of space for a laundry yeah. room. It's such a, it, mm-hmm. it's almost like, why didn't they do that originally? yeah, I have a laundry room on the second story. And I will say, now that I've had it on the second story, mm-hmm. I could never live without it on the second story.
It's very nice.
It is so nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, gosh, even just putting laundry away, I actually don't even use laundry baskets anymore.
Yeah.
Because I do, everyone thinks this is weird, but I do everyone in our house's laundry separately. Okay. So like each kid gets their own load of laundry.
Well, we all know you're a little weird, Jamie.
Well, so, you know it's like, this isn't news, but nonetheless, I actually highly recommend it, especially if you have multiple children, mm-hmm. because I don't have to sort laundry. I never sort.
Mm.
So everyone has like a darks and lights hamper and it's easy. I never have to sort and it's magical. So I skip a whole step in the laundry process. Yes. I run 13 loads a week and there is a very organized system.
Good for you.
It has to be. Otherwise, it would just pile up and I can't handle that. Yeah. But nonetheless, I do really like having it on the second story until it flooded.
Yeah.
That created a lot of problems.
That's not fun.
No.
Because water goes down.
It does.
To the first floor.
It does. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny. Water finds its way everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that created a lot of problems. But other than that, I do really like having it on the second story.
Yeah.
But
that's not really a major concern because that doesn't happen very often.
I would hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would hope not.
You'd want, that's why we put a little,
pan
under the washing machine.
Yeah. We have a pan under there now, although this actually wouldn't have, caught that problem. It was actually in the connection of the water line to the, washing machine.
That's not fun.
No, it was a lot of water.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a lot of water.
It was a lot of water. But you know what? Even in that moment, it seemed so catastrophic because it was literally pouring through every light fixture on the first floor of our home. I mean, the office, the mudroom, the pantry, our kitchen, everywhere it was pouring. And in the long run, even though it took some time for it all to dry out and we had to have these awful fans blowing that made the house 90 degrees, it was all fine. You know,
it dried out.
It was all fine.
Yeah.
It really, I mean, we had some trim replaced and that's it. Yeah. And it's just amazing. It's amazing what seems so catastrophic at the time. And even just during these remodels, you know, finding out that something's in the way or something needs to change seems so catastrophic at the time, but it's like, it can be fixed and it will be fine.
Yeah.
And remembering that when you're in it is hard.
So the moral of the story is if you put a new washing machine in, put new hoses in too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're in Delaware County with hard water.
No.
But
hoses don't last forever. The fittings don't last forever.
Yeah. And that's this washer and dryer stayed with the home and it's 12 years old. Mm-hmm. So that was the fun we had. But nonetheless.
Not a lot of fun.
Yeah. But not to scare you out of a second story laundry because it is well worth it.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we had in our last home.
Yeah.
And we're on a one level now. So
easy peasy.
We couldn't have it upstairs. It'd be in the roof.
Yeah, that'd be a weird spot for it.
Okay, so this has been segment number 3 for the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, and we're going to take a break. We'll be back for segment 4. Welcome back. This is the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, where today we're talking about mechanicals and how they run all through our houses, which is just great until you take a wall out. Or you add a room addition.
Yes.
And there happens to be an air conditioning condenser right in the way, which is, I think all HVAC people are trained to put that exactly where an addition may go.
Yeah.
So that it has to be moved because they almost never are in a location where you would never want to put an addition.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I know. It is true. I mean, we definitely move a lot of them. But, you know, sometimes if we're doing an addition, don't they need replaced anyways to be bigger or add one to compensate for
sometimes,
the space?
Sometimes. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. And, I mean, those seem so unmovable to me because
they're big and bulky.
Well, they're big and bulky and there's so much connected to it.
All these copper tubes and insulated tubing.
So what is it that you do? If you have to move one for the sake of an addition, do you just extend it, like the tubing from there, or do you need to rework a lot of the house?
Okay, so that tubing is going to be running to your main furnace and your main ductwork system.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be, so we're talking about the air conditioning here. So there's in your furnace plenum, there's going to be an A coil. And that's what the Freon runs through and gets real cold and cools the air.
Yeah.
So you've got two copper pipes that are running out to your air conditioning condenser. And one of them is the return run, and one of them is the supply. So those are all totally sealed because you're under, you know, it's all under pressure.
Yeah.
And so to move, if you're just, well, you basically never luck out and can use the same pipes, probably.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
Okay.
So you're typically talking about running new lines out to the new unit, wherever that is. So that's going to be routing it through the basement or crawl space into the location where you need to put it. A lot of times we might move it beside the addition that we're adding.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just somewhere else on the house. So you've got those tubing, the Freon or coolant tubing units that you have to move in lines, and then there's the power too. So you're going to be feeding 220 volts to that air conditioning condenser out there, and then it's going to have its own shutoff valve. So you've got, you know, significant electric and significant piping for the Freon.
But so, I mean, typically if we're doing an addition, even if that doesn't need moved, if the addition is far away from where the AC unit is and things like that, is that, how do you get it all the way over there? Do you just kind of tie into it, or?
The cool air?
Yeah.
Well, that's through your duct system.
Yeah. So you can just add on to it, basically.
Usually. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I know, you know, sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's actually an opportunity if you're close to needing two, or you can have a use for two units. It might be the opportunity to do it because they only are for a certain size, right?
Yeah. And air conditioning is probably the more critical one because your heat, you can usually typically add a fair amount of square footage and not have to upgrade your furnace.
Okay.
Because heat, the heat end of it is more powerful. You've got a lot of warm air and a lot of movement. Cooling is more challenging. So a lot of times the heat supply is fine, but we have to increase the condenser, air conditioning condenser, to get more cooling. Not always.
Yeah.
But that's usually going to be the scenario.
Okay. And then what about kind of the other option of if you're finishing a basement and your HVAC is just smack dab in the middle? Is it, I mean, it's possible, of course, but is it valuable to move it? Is it worth the expense?
Now you're talking about the furnace?
The furnace, the actual in the house, in the basement furnace. Can you move
that? That would kind of like be relocating your heart and your body.
Oh, okay. Not suggested then.
Because there's so, everything is moving to that.
Yeah.
Like all the veins in your body are moving to your heart.
Yeah.
So
that thing's pretty.
It's pretty much, you're not moving that thing. Unless you're just redoing a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But here's another idea. Let's say you've got, you're adding an addition and there's no way to really get additional heat or cooling to that addition. Well, there's these wonderful things called mini splits. And it's a self-contained unit, and those things are really miracle workers.
Yeah.
Because they're not noisy. You know, people, you might think about, oh, well, in a motel room where they've got that big unit by the window and it's so noisy.
Yeah.
This is not that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a self-contained unit. It's got the compressor, everything right there. It's, that's why it's making all that noise. But a mini split has the compressor. All the noisy stuff is outside down on your, you know, somewhere. And it's not big, so it can be put in a lot of locations. So it's outside, and the only thing you have inside is just, you know, the heating and cooling unit itself.
Yeah.
And it's just blowing air.
Now, what if your addition is completely open to the rest of your house? Can you do that?
You still could add a mini split just to give a supplemental cooling and heating to that area.
That that's an interesting thought, because as I've mentioned before, we really want to add a sunroom to mm-hmm. our home, but mm-hmm. we don't want doors to it. We just want it open to okay. the rest of the house. And I wonder if would that be too open to the rest of the house for a mini split?
No, because you could close the doors or open them, right?
No, I don't want doors.
Oh, you don't want doors.
I don't want doors.
Well, chances are, just a sunroom, unless it's really big, your existing HVAC would handle that.
Okay, just fine.
Yeah, typically.
So in that situation, it would be easier to just add a vent.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Add ductwork out there.
All right. Very good. So, I mean, I guess when you're talking about a kitchen remodel, kind of backtracking a little bit, you know, and we're, a lot of times we'll say, you know, a pull and replace, as we call it, where mm-hmm. we're basically keeping the same footprint, is typically the most cost effective way to do something. But then there's certain things that, like moving a refrigerator, that's a relatively easy thing to move if yeah. that's all you're moving.
Yeah.
Because it's really just a water line and electricity, right?
Yep. So just a 1/4-inch water line, very easy to relocate.
Yeah.
And just 120 volt receptacle.
Yeah. And sometimes it ends up almost being a wash because you need less cabinetry in that space.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Depending on where you're moving it from. But yeah, so, but then moving, if you're going from a little 30-inch electric range to mm-hmm. a 48-inch gas range, mm-hmm. even if you're keeping it in the same spot, it mm-hmm. requires a lot of different things, right?
Yeah, you're going to need upgraded amperage to it, so a lot larger wires feeding it, no mm-hmm. doubt. The hood is mm-hmm. going to be an issue.
Yeah.
You're going to need a lot larger hood, and that's going to have a large, maybe a 8 or 10-inch duct going out.
That's huge.
That is huge.
And it's not like it's flat. It's round, right?
They're typically round.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can convert to rectangular. But
okay.
Yeah, so that's definitely, yeah, figuring out how to run range hood ducting can be a challenge.
Yeah, I bet.
And we have been known to have to create soffits occasionally for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that's one of those situations where sometimes the solution isn't, you know, what you want, but mm-hmm. I think it's, oftentimes it's forgotten after the project's complete.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
We can make it kind of seamless enough that it seems to disappear.
Yeah.
And people end up.
Yeah.
Having.
Those are temporary struggles through the project.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Now what about with additions and things moving like a sump pump?
Mm-hmm.
What does that take?
Well, a sump pump, that's not something you're typically going to move because you've got all this tile that's buried underneath your cement floor mm-hmm. or outside, and it's running to that sump pump.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can move them. You could cut somewhere else and catch the tile somewhere else in the basement, maybe.
Okay.
To relocate it.
Yeah.
That's feasible. But that usually isn't necessary that often. Don't run into that very often.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good. So,
yeah, it's a lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving of parts, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, where we're here every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. We love all of our listeners. We like hearing from you. If you ever want to reach us by email, just email info@davefox.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.